First John chapter 4. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you about something that I feel is a needed message in this hour. It's an old message, but we're going to look at it in a different kind of way this morning. This is a message that talks about something more powerful than faith. Something more powerful than faith. You know, the Bible says that faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him or God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a lot of things that I think we do that God's not concerned in. And you know, I'm not going to get into that. But as years passed, we found out that God was not too upset about mixed bathing and stuff like that. But God is looking for people of faith. Can I hear amen? Amen. Faith pleases God. So if you want to please God, just do whatever you do in faith. 1 John chapter 4, let's start with verse 7. We'll read down to verse 11 and then we'll go to verse 16. Beloved, anytime you see the word beloved in the Bible, it's talking to born again people of God. It's talking to the household of faith. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, listen to this now, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Drop down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I want to read verse 11 from the Message Bible. It says, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Can I hear an amen? One of the things I want us to look at this morning in this season of uncertainty for the world, and in our season of fullness and deliverance, and everything that we believe in God for, I want us to understand that God and the world is looking at the church. Second Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. So God, in this time of uncertainty for the world, and in our time of breakthrough and deliverance and fullness that we believe is going on, the Bible says that God, yes, God, the God that you say is somewhere out there, over there, the God of the universe, Elohim, Jehovah, God Almighty, is looking for people whose heart is right towards him. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, see, we take these scriptures like, oh, well, you were looking at everybody, and it won't be long. Next year, we'll have cameras everywhere, so we will be looking at you. And see, we read the Bible, sometimes we put it in some far-off country. I mean, it just doesn't register. And here are some scriptures that I don't think register with us, that God is actually looking at things. He's watching and looking in this time of uncertainty and greatness for the kingdom. And not he's looking at the righteous. How many of you are in right standing with God? Do you know you are? Thank God for Jesus. That's what puts you right inside of God. He said he's looking for righteous, and his ears are always open until they cry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says, this is about the world, ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all A-double-L men. So we are the book, the map, the epistles that people are reading today. The world's looking at us. I know you know these things, but they're important in this season. People are looking at the church. Now, I don't know about you. I probably could speak to the world and what's going on in the church. The world is scratching their head over what's going on in the church. We're up here preaching against them, and they're out there scratching their head about us. Yeah. Kind of like we're at a standstill because we don't recognize that what we do as the people of the Lord is very important. You know, it's unfortunate most of us, not all of us, but a majority of the churches, whether they're here or anywhere else, have not yet entered into the whole salvation plan. We have numbers of people that are still trying to get born again that have been sitting in churches for years. Because we want to feel right instead of being right. So God's looking at you and me. And people are looking at you and me. The Message Bible says our very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at us. See, that was one of, I'll be honest with you, that was one of my hindrances in my early days of life as a preacher's son. Growing up with, I'm sorry to say, we used to use the word hypocrites. You see how I get so silent when we're talking about, you don't, when's the last time you heard the word hypocrite? You know, today everybody's right, right? Right, Sister Pam? Everybody's going on the first load. We're all on the Zion trip, but that's just a fairy tale. Everybody you see and you'll find out during the sermons doesn't have what they need to have. But one of my hindrances is as I was growing up, and I'm sure Brother Jeff could say the same thing because we lived in the church. We never missed anything. We traveled 20 years on the road, and we saw a lot. We dealt with a lot of preachers and a lot of deacons and devils and deacons, and let me preach just a minute and get by, okay? It needs to be said, some of the biggest crooks in the world are sitting in churches. They steal your money. We were young, traveling all over the United States, singing gospel music. We see the offering plates passed. And they'd be just fooling, running over. We'd get on the bus and go home. We'd have $35. Somebody stole our money. Hey, Brother Willie can verify that. That was one of my problems in my early days, was looking and observing around me so-called people who so-called love the Lord. And they lived any old kind of a life. You know, it's still common today. Some of you shout on Sunday. And your kids watch you live like the devil on Monday. And then you wonder why they don't want nothing. Well, it might be because you, what they see. I didn't call no name. Say the pastor didn't call no name. But people are looking at you and me. And God is looking at me and you. So, and we know this as charismatic people in Acts chapter 1, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are to be a witness. Say witness. We are to be a witness to the world in Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. About a witness of the power of serving God. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
So it's important to understand that right off the bat. That what people see in your life is important. Whether you like it or not. And I've heard it said, and it's true. You are the only Jesus that some folks will ever see in their lifetime. Amen? With that in mind, with that in mind that the world is looking to us, do you know your home, your house, where you live reflects your belief system? It reflects your personality. Your house does. It reflects the personalities of all the people that live in that house. Can I hear amen? Amen. If I were to visit your house, I could tell in 5 minutes if you was a messy person. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Or you was a person of excellence. And within 5 minutes, I could tell if you like space in your house or you like no space in your house with all your furniture in your house. Amen. Amen. I could tell what you like. What kind of, by the pictures that you have on the wall. I could tell a lot about you, about your house that you live in. I wouldn't even have to meet you. I'd know in a minute when I walked in there what kind of person you were. I also could look at your car and tell if you were a clean person. Oh, can I preach a little minute here? If your car's dirty all the time and you can't get in and out of it, I don't want to go to your house and eat. Don't ask me. I don't even have to go to your house. I just go walk by your car and say, no, I got something to do today. Amen. Whatever you spend your time in reflects whatever you are. Everything about you is how you dress. We don't understand that. How we carry ourselves reflects who we are and what we believe. That's powerful. Say that's powerful. See, we think we just down on this earth to hit and miss and, you know, just go through life a hitting and a missing and a praying and a hoping and a puttering along. No, we're in this life to reflect something, and we all do. We reflect what we believe. Amen. Your house is your domain. Domain. Your house that you, where you live, is your domain. What you like and what you don't like should be in that house. What you let come in and let go out is determined by you that lives in the house. And parents, let me tell you, I'm from the old school. That whatever went on in my house was determined by me. Not by my youngins. Amen. And you know, my kids can tell you, we never denied them of their Jordan pump shoes. You remember when the first pump shoes came out? I think they were Jordan, Michael Jordan shoes. They were red and had little pump-up things on them. You know, I went to the mall, and Lord, they were about $130. And that's a long time ago. We went, I think, Shannon Mall. I read in the paper where it closed down this week. Wow. They couldn't pay the light bill. Can you believe that? Couldn't pay the light bill and the water bill, so they shut Shannon Mall down. That's sad. That is really sad. But anyway, you know, we didn't deny them of the basic privilege of what everybody else had. We dressed them. Chad got his shoes, and I remember he'd go to bed at night pumping them shoes up and letting them out. And then Bethany thought she wanted a pair, about 125, 115, somewhere right in there. And she put them suckers on and wore them one time. You remember that, Penny? One time, brand new shoes. I don't like them. Well, you know, so whatever. But we did deny them of what they watched on TV. Yeah. Can I preach to you a little bit? I think we lost a lot of things when we took the dinner table out of the house. Yeah. I really do. I think we lost a lot of things when we let the TV raise our kids and school raise our kids and next door neighbor raise our kids and daycare raise our kids. No, you are responsible for that monster that you have made. Don't blame it on nobody but yourself. Your house. You determine what cometh in, what goeth out, you should, and what goeth on in your house, because your house is your domain, and your domain represents who you really are. It's important that you know that. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let me talk to you a little bit. You thought that was something. Let me talk to you about. If your house takes on the personality of you, amen. Then when I think about the house of God, I know you are the house, but I'm talking about the brick and mortar now, which we're gathered today. This house takes on the personality of those that sit in this house. Amen. Amen. If I come in the house of the Lord and I see seats, empty seats, and I see nobody's in here, really just empty seats, because it's not Sunday. If somebody came in here, no seats full, instruments on the, they see the instruments up here, they see the beautiful place here, something in this place would show forth our personality. Amen, because they came to the house. This is our domain. And thank God we're a clean house. You don't smell the bathrooms in this church. Say
thank God.
I've been in them. You could smell them before you got in them. The bathrooms. You might smell bleach around here, but you ain't going to smell no bathroom in this house. So long as Dina Joe is here. Amen. Amen. But when you come into the house of God has a personality about it. Amen. Just like your house does. They should be able, people should be able to come in here and see, regardless if we're here or not, what kind of personality is in this house. Don't you think this house looks like me and Penny? Really, it does. I mean, do you ever see our hair messed up? I mean,
no.
Holly did the other morning, but I had a hat on. I came early for you. I love you women, so I came over here to make sure the heat was right. Early in the morning with my pajamas on. I thought I'd be by myself with a hat on, because it was, you know, I get up, my hair sticking straight up. I came over here, and Holly was here, and I said, oh, my. Well, then I said, you're so cute. When people come to the house of God, they ought to be able to see if this is truly a house of God.
Amen.
By the reflections in the house and on the people. So that's, so listen to me. It's important what happens in this house.
Yes.
Amen.
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 So the question is, what does the world see when they come to the house of God? You know, it's a really demand on the church now. It really is, to get into, and I think it's good in some respects, but it's gone overboard for us to get into the 21st century. I mean, everybody's got to have what that thing called pool. Yeah, everybody's got to have one of them. And one of them. Everybody's got to have some lights and some media and some flashing stuff and some fancy stuff. And come on, don't stop. You know it's true everywhere you go. I mean, I went to some churches. I thought, man, are we at the nightclub or are we at the church? I couldn't tell much different. Even in the singing, in the worship, really. But we're under pressure. We're under pressure to present a certain image to the world. And I just wonder how important that really is to somebody that's hurting. How important that really is to somebody that's in need. Whether a light flashes or not. Or whether the media is shown at the right time. But what does the world see? What do people see in us? What do they see in the church? Let me ask you the question. Where is the love of God in your life? Where is the love of God in the church? Because here, we already read the scriptures, and the scriptures said, God is love twice. So if God is love, when we find love, we find God. Can't we say that? If we find true love, we find there is a true God. If we can't find love, we can't find God. Because God is love. He's not trying to love. Come on now. He's not trying to get up the nerve to love you. God loves you regardless. God is love. When He ceases to love, we don't have no God. God is love. So when we find love, genuine love from in people, that's where God's at. That's where God's at. And that's why I think in this season we need to express that, that it's not a time to get off on your own. I mean, the devil's at work. He'll get you off on your own and get you by yourself. He can really put some pressure on you to do some crazy stuff. Amen. So we don't need to be separate through our schisms and our isms and all this junk that's in the church, whether we get all this stuff or not, or whether you be rich or poor or in or out or up or down or whatever. We don't need to be in all that stuff to cause us to be split up. We need to really focus on the genuine. And the genuine that people need to see is that God is in the house.
Amen.
And God, as I said, not necessarily mean that God's in the house because you got flashing lights.
Right.
Or you sing like a mockingbird.
Right.
There's some good old singers in the world that I love to hear. They sing like mockingbirds. They ain't saved. They just good singers.
Yeah.
Guess what? We got them in the church. They just good singers. They ain't saved.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think we got none here because, you know, we when you're small like this, you see everything. You just know, man. You catch them for long. Crazy don't stay hid very long, right? Sin don't stay hid very long. That's in a small church. No, I believe we got some faithful because they're faithful worshipers and musicians that pray unto the Lord. Play unto the Lord. So we need to understand that when we find love, and that's what we're going to talk about. I said it's an old subject, but so necessary. When you find love, you find God. And if there's no love in the house of God, there is no God in the house.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm really concerned about in the church of the 21st century, is that we've lost the value. Some way we dropped the ball.
Yes.
What it's all about. And we made the church of God a business. Wake up, some of you. Punch somebody on the side and say, wake up, church. Some of you need to go to bed on Saturday night. Amen. I'm getting a little bold. I'll pop you on the head like my daddy when I get a little bit older. I tell you, I'm not old enough yet. When I get 65, watch out. Amen. Now, they'll sue you today. I ain't going to pop nobody on the head. But see, you think this is sermon just a little sermonette for you. But I'm going to tell you something. The real people of God love one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What does God and the world see when they look at us? Where is the love? Where is the love in the house of God? See, that's really a dangerous question because a lot of us don't really know what love is in the first place. Some of us wasn't loved by our parents, our first husband, maybe second husband, or first wife, or second wife, didn't love us. Boy, y'all quiet today. We don't know where, you know, everybody has a definition of love. I mean, what are you looking for in your love? What are you looking for in the church when it comes to love? We think love in the church is they'll let me do what I want to do. If you love me, you'll love me like I am. Hey. Yeah, man. You can't hardly preach conviction anymore. That church ain't got no love in it. They don't love me like I am. I'm not supposed to love you like you are. I love you through the love of God, but you got to change. Say, I got to change. You say, yo, our definition of love is that you let me. You know, it's amazing how people say they love the pastor and they love the church until you tell them the truth. You're trying to save their life and you're shaking them and rattling them and rolling them. And they don't love me no more. You see, your definition of love is not quite right. Because love doesn't mean that everybody lets you do what you want to do. I love my baby. I love my son. I ain't going to spank him. You wait till he gets grown enough. He'll spank big enough. He might spank you. Hey. Where is the love? Where is the love? Because when you find the love, you find the God. And if there's no love, there's no God. And if there's no God, there can't be any love. Where is it at in the church? Is that we don't preach the truth to you? So we'll let you be like you are so you can say we're a church that loves people. But we don't care if you go to hell or not. We don't care if your marriage gets torn to pieces when we see it splitting. See, we see a lot of things before you see. Because we're set over your life whether you like it or not. As a priest and the king over your life, to see the things that tearing your life up, to respond to those things, to tell you about those things. But people today in the 21st century can't handle it. Because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for somebody that will agree with them and just pat them on the back and say, you know, it's going to get better. When you're living like hell, it's going to get better. It's going to get better when because you're looking at a woman and you're living with another woman and all this stuff and all. It's going to get better when the fornication stops.
Come on, preacher, man.
So where is the true love? Where is the love in the church? Where is the love in your life? See, we think when somebody walks up to us and says, you know, I need $100. And you know these people, they throw away everything they ever get. They wearing better clothes than you. They got 10 TVs in the house. You struggling with one. Right? And they going to walk up to you because they, you know, if they love me, they'll give me $100. What you laughing at, Brother Jeff? You know I'm preaching, don't you, huh? If you love me, you'll pay me off. If you love me. Is that where love really is? That we prop up your lust? I want to cry right now. I feel like crying. Because I know this sermon ain't going far. But it needs to. You got to understand something about me. It's never been about growing a church in my life. It's always been about growing people. Because a big church unruly would just worry the hell out of me. A big church that's got a lot of people in it and they don't know nothing. I can't take it. Because I'm a word man. I want you to know the word. Because it's the word that will make you free. Amen. So where is the love? Where is the love in the church? Is it in giving you $100? Or is it telling you, you might need to spend your money a better, wisely? Let's go work out a budget. Let's sit down and talk about if you got some money. Come on, let's sit down and really get into the root of your problem. People get upset. That church don't love me no more. Yeah, we do. We're trying to help you. Save your life. Because we all need change. You know why I'm saying that? Because there was a day in my life I spent all the money all the time. Any old time. Me and Brother Jeff, we never had no money because we made sure we spent it before we got home. We used to go get cars together, and my wife don't even know what we was doing. And come home, look what I bought today. Oh, Brother Jeff got one too. Throw the payment book over on the wife, and that paid a bill. I'll be honest with you, I don't control the money in my house. Ooh, that got real quiet. I get an allowance. I'm housebroken. whatever works best for you. Some of you might need to housebreak your wife, but I'm housebroken. I don't get the full wow. I know she actually gave me a lot of money, and I done gave it away, honey. I mean, I think I got $20 left. Don't shake your head. I had some birthdays to cover around here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm lost in space. Some people think love is letting people do what they want to do. Do what you want. Yeah, that's what they think it is. Most people's definition of love is, if you love me, you will. Period. That's thought. You will do whatever. I need you to do, then I know you love me. That's dangerous. Very, very dangerous, because you're letting people determine what really love is when you give in to that kind of stuff. You don't help them. You don't help them. Hey, I got some work to do on that avenue. I want everybody to love me. I want everybody to like me. I found it don't work that way. Even when you say I will to people, they still if they want to do, they want to give up, go cave in and leave, they do it anyway. Right. I bought a couple of houses, helped them get a house. They never would have got a house. And after they got the house, 2 weeks later, they were gone. I moved in prisoners in my house, had nowhere to live, moved them into my house, bought them all the clothes they had, gave them money to spend and turn around and stole from me. I've been there. I do that. I'm not the world's greatest about it, but at least I can tell you the truth. Just because you do something for somebody doesn't determine true love. That's right. Amen. Love has to do with respect. Yes. Respecting one another. Amen. Where's the love in the house of God? Love in the house of God is when we respect each other's. Yeah. We respect your answer. We may not agree with it, but we respect you because we know you love us. If I don't lend you the money, that doesn't say I don't love you. It might mean I'm broke that day. Don't want to tell you about it. It might mean I lent you some 6 months ago and you don't remember and you never paid it back. That happens all the time here. Amen. Love. It's respect. I respect your answer. I respect who you are. I respect if you say no. I still love you. I respect you, Pastor. But when you tell me the honest truth, when you tell me to wake up, and I know I've been nodding. I still respect you. I know you told me to wake up because you don't want me to sleep my way in hell in here. You can, this is off the sermon here, but I can say for a fact, you can trust the leadership in this church. Amen. You can trust it. They have your life on their heart. And if you don't make changes, you'll be the same way next year. It ain't to hurt. It ain't to make you mad and you to walk away and say, we don't love you. It's because we respect you so much to tell you the truth. And most of the time, the leadership in this church have been exactly where you've been. And we didn't have no help. We didn't have nobody set us down and work out a payment plan. We didn't have anybody set down and work out a budget. I didn't. They just say, hey. You know, everybody was in the same pot. Nobody had a budget. Know what a budget was. What's a budget? That's some kind of rental car? Something? A budget? My daddy's motto was, we only live one time, spend it all down here. That's the way he trained me. We're going to have a good time down here. Their number one goal is to have good credit. That's all. If I can borrow it, I'm rich. Yeah. If I got good credit, I'm above. I'm in the well beyond. Never thought about paying cash for anything. Cash? What's cash? I bought all my furniture. We had a house of furniture when we got married, and I saw the stereo. Man, I want the stereo. I want the stereo. Boy, it's beautiful stereo. Let's see if we can work it out. I went up there and I had this stereo and beautiful, big old long thing. You know, beautiful piece of furniture. Y'all remember them days? So I went in the furniture store and, you know, we doing paying $20 a month or so. Yeah, you can have this thing for $2 more a month. Over 20 years. I don't know how long. $2 a month? I know that sucker was big. Oh, yeah, I want that. That's great. I'm prosperous. Yeah. Y'all really quiet. Amen. Nobody told me. Save my money up. Buy that thing, then you own it. Wealth is not what you earn. Wealth is what you keep. Good people. Can I say that one more time? Millionaires? Billionaires? Wealth is not what you make. I make a good salary. Well, how much you got left of it? None. Well, you're not wealthy. Wealth is what you possess, what you have, what you keep, what you hide under the mattress. It's who you are, whatever you own. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you love me, and I love you, I'll respect your answer. I respect who you are. I don't come into the church with needy, needy, needy fingers. Wanna, wanna, wanna fingers. Spy out the land and find out where the money sits. Then I sit right over there near them. I ain't talking about y'all. I sit right by them. Over there. Y'all don't believe that happens in church. Oh, yeah. I wish I could say what I want to say. Be careful. What you tell the public you are in need of. You be careful. You be careful. You don't never go on something all the world looks at and tell them your need. Some devil can be waiting at some house with your what you need, and you get there and they rape you. You don't believe that. You don't. Got enough sense to understand the devil and demons out there for you, and you think God's giving you that? Yo, whatever. Say whatever.
Whatever.
Where is the love? Where is the love? Because when you find the love, you find the God. See, that's what I want you to hook up with. Yeah. When you find true love, you find God.
That's right.
When those people in 9/11 were dying in those buildings, and those firemen went up those buildings and risked their lives, and some of them died before they got down, that's love. And I don't know about the spiritual condition, but that's God. Because when you lay down your life for a friend, there's no greater love than that. Yeah, we think you know, spirituality is somebody saying, come by, chadabana, lumo, kuntamata shinamaniha. Honda hada. Honda. Shoot. I'm sorry. That don't really turn me on no more. I speak in tongues more than you all. But what turns me on is to see the love. A genuine love of somebody who knows God and God knows their love. Woo! Woo! Love is beyond feeling. You hear me? Folk, what's it going to take for the church to get beyond feeling, period? I told Brother Jeff Wednesday night, you know, we was hoping for... Every Wednesday night has been a breakthrough night. Something spectacular seems to happen on Wednesday. And I got to him, and he's preaching that night. I said, Brother, you better get ready to preach. He said, why? It's raining. I said, when it rains, people sit down. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. It's just something about rain. When it's raining, people feel down. So they sit down on their gifts. And they're reaching out. It's just that way. See, I've been to church long enough. I mean, I've been standing by the pond when it rains. I know what rain feels like. I know when it rains, you get wet. Well, I know in the church, when it rains, it's hard to get people wet. I know you can't handle this. Y'all quiet. I know you can't handle it. But I can change this platform up here, and many of you will get so confused you can't feel God. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. I proved it over and over all years when I tell you, don't go up there and move nothing. Not in a move of God. You don't move nothing in a move of God. I'm serious. Like a baseball team. You wear your hair backwards, hat backwards, and your royal mustache or whatever. You don't change things in the winning combination. And you can change these things. You could take these off today and people will keep, well, what's going on? What was wrong with the service? Am I telling the truth, Miss Bennett? What's wrong with the service? Because they're in the feeling. They're in the love. If I can feel it, I know they love me. Jesus. Don't you think your wife knows better than that? Your husband knows better than that. Because sometimes I think the dog gets more love than I do. Feel like it. I feel like it. When I come in, she don't scratch me for hours. I look over, I'm in the recliner watching TV. She's over there just scraping that dog for hours. I imagine at night she's doing like it. Wonder she ain't doing it right now. Oh, honey. Oh, baby. I missed you all day long. Smack, 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 smack. Yeah. Yeah. When? Don't start. Don't start. You told me you used to be number one. You ain't number one no more. You said that long time ago. All right, I cut it off. That's when I asked you if you'd marry me again. You remember that? I shouldn't have asked that question a long time ago. But she told me lately, a period of while back, I'd marry you, honey, again. That so made me feel good. But love's not feelings, folks. I don't care what you feel. You still got to respect people and love people and honor people and reach out to people. You know, love will get you out of those seats on Sunday morning, regardless of how you feel, and go shake somebody's hand and love on them. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hold on for a minute. Say, I'm going to hold on because Pastor Mike fixed to say something. Because a lot of folk in the church think they are loving, they're lusting. Why I say that? Because lust heaps the feeling on yourself.
Yeah.
Always. Well, if church folk love me, they're going to come shake my hand.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what love is. You lust.
Right.
You in lust. You infatuated. You in lust. You know, if they really love me, they're going to... No. If you love, if you really love, you'll come early to hug on somebody. I'm preaching now. If you really love, if it's not about you, then you're going to love somebody. You'd be surprised what a handshake and a hug would do in these trying days. Just somebody look you in the face, eyeball to eyeball, and just say, you look good today. Man, you smell wonderful. I love you. That's true love. Well, I just always late. Well, it might be about you. Don't forget you love me now. You love me. You love me. Say you love me. See, love beyond. Listen, love is beyond feelings. Turn with me. John chapter 21. John 21. Just let me read that to you. Love is beyond feeling. Love doesn't have anything to do with feeling. You have to keep it separated. Lust does. Feel good. I lust after it. Yeah. John 21. Let's start with verse 15. Read down to verse 17. Does it say this? So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, he's talking to Peter, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Three times Jesus asked Peter the same question. Three times Peter gave him the same answer. Thou knowest that I love you. And three times Jesus gave him something to do.
Right. Yes.
So you missed that one. See, love is not about what you say. Love is about what you do.
That's right.
Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Then the Lord said, well, if you love me, you're going to do something for me. You're going to serve me. See, love's all about servanthood. Love is all about servanthood. Faith without works is dead. Love without works is dead. See, a church full of lusting people, all they want is what they can get from God, get from people, get from the pastor, get from the worship, get. That's lust. But a loving church, where's the love? I'm talking about where's the love. A loving church comes in to give.
Yes.
They so love the worship team that the worship team gets so excited because the people in the seats love them so much they can't hardly hear the music for the people worshiping God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Lord, say Lord.
Lord.
I hope it's helps you.
It does.
Where's the love? Love's not in a feeling. Love's in a doing.
Yes, right.
Love is an action.
Yes.
See, when you girls, when you get these guys and all they want is want, it's lust. It's lust. It's a trick. It's a lust.
Right.
It's a lust.
Yeah.
Lust bringing forth sin every time. Love don't. Lust does.
Lust.
Somebody always wants something from you. It's not love, it's lust.
Right.
Heaping upon themselves. See, we just throw away the lust because it's sexual. It's lust in a lot of things.
Right.
You can lust people's time.
Right.
You get so involved with people, they can't even do nothing because they're always having to do something for you.
Right.
If you love me, you will.
Yeah.
If you love me, you will. Yeah. Where is love, I said? Where is love in the house of God?
Yeah.
Now here's another thing. You can't love me in 2 minutes. I'm not saying stop telling people you love them. What I'm saying is deeper than just telling somebody. You see a visitor, don't know nothing about them, never met them in your life. I do it. You go up to them and say, I love you. You don't. You can't. You don't know them. Love is birthed out of troubles and trials and situations and sacrifice. Love comes in that arena of sacrifice and love. You stick with somebody regardless because you love them. You cannot love somebody in 2 seconds. That first date, you go out with that boy and he gets you over and turns the lights off and he looks at you and says, I love you. You ought to jump out and say, you don't even know me. But your eyes start doing, oh, he loves me. He can't love you in 1 date. He can't love you in 2 days. It takes when you show yourself real. Tell him, keep your daggum hands off my body. That's the only thing I own. You touch me again, you won't have no fingers. If you touch me again, I'm going to tell my daddy in here, you won't have a body part when he gets through with you. If you don't have no daddy, you come tell Pastor Mike. We'll take care of him. But I'm in love. Puppy dog love. Lustful love. See, you can't come into church just because you tell somebody you love them that you love them. You don't even know if you love them. Love takes a time of sacrifice for one another. I know Pam loves me, and I often use her because Pam has sacrificed her life for me. I know Jeff loves me because we've been through living hell together. And sometimes fought each other in that hell, but we never busted up because we love. My wife and others, Paula, many of you I started calling names, but Jeff often tells me, Brother Mike, you don't really know how much I do love you. And we often say, we're not thinking about dying, but we do think about it. Because, you know, we grow on older. What it would be like to put one of us and visit one of us. Because we love each other so much. You know how we got that deep, genuine love? Because it was the hell we went through that we joined our hands and said, regardless of what happens, we love one another. People say, I love you. The least little thing happens. You have a bad hairdo. Where are the people at? They didn't love you. They lusted after you. They wanted what they could get. Somebody won't let you have a bad day. They don't love you. It's all right to have a bad day once in a while. That's Brother Jeff and them. I had somebody here one time, his own staff, and I had a bad day that day. They never let me by. I mean, they quit over it. I told them, maybe I'm having a bad day, but you ain't going to take it out on me. Well, if you love me, you would let me take it out on you.
Come on, man.
You fool if you think everybody's going to be perfect all the time. You need to go live in another planet somewhere. You ain't been around me. I ain't perfect. Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't tell people that you love them, but I'm telling you can't love somebody in 2 minutes. You just can't. Real love comes through sacrifice and pain. Love is manifested over a period of test and time. It's revealed or manifested over a period of actions. We just read what Jesus told Peter, if you love me, you'll do this. Sacrifice and do this for me. You'll feed my sheep. Love is beyond feeling. Love, listen, lets a person live another day. Hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. Love lets a person, that's what I'm talking about. Love lets a person live another day. Just because I'm having a bad day, you're going to jump off, you're going to throw me off on a trash can? Just maybe because I flared up and blur on you, you're going to throw me in the trash can? No, true love, to people who truly love will walk away in tears. Hurt within, but expecting something better coming out of it. Well, maybe tomorrow they'll feel better. That's what true love is. It's not going away. Church people are church people are real good at that. They'll kill you before your time. They'll write you off. Come on now, help me preach. They'll stab you, kill you, bundle you up, and throw you in the river. Over nothing. God, let's have a church that joins hands through the tough times. And through the troubled world, and let people know what really love is. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close. God, I got about 10 more pages. Skip around a little bit. So love lets a person live another day and another day and another day. Where is the love? Where is the love? It may shock you. But you know, sometimes love's not in the pulpit, in the preaching. Love's not God. Sometimes God's not in the preaching. It might just be a good sermon, good words, charismatic. See, here's the danger. Most people don't know the difference in the anointing and the charisma of a person. Most people can turn on Christian TV and eat and shout and send their money. If you only knew the gimmicks. I got to write that book, Gimmick Living. Gimmick Giving. That's a chapter in my book. My book's going to be named Get to Giving. Get to Giving. The difference between got to and get to. See, we've been this, but anyway, sowing and reaping is a wonderful thing, but we use it as a gimmick. We put pressure on. It's like, has anybody ever went to one of those places where you go look at something and then they give you a free week or a free day of night stay or tell you they're going to give you a radio and it might be a pocket radio or something. And you go there and you go sit and you look and view and then you go in that room. Oh my God. Then they put the pressure on you. Well, that's what it is on Christian TV. They put the pressure on you. Go to the phone right now. Write your check out right now. Don't miss the blessing right now. Right now, right now. You got to do it right. Go to the phone right now. There's 120 of you. The Lord telling me for you to go to the phone right now. Right now. You see how silly. I mean, God help us. I was watching the other day and they had how many words in the Bible. That's what they use. Now, if you sow in 1,000, chapters or whatever it is. I know it must have been chapters or something. 1,000 something, this is how many, I don't know what it is in the Bible. I just turn it off. But anyway, if you sow this in, you'll get back everything in the Bible. I wanted to puke on the TV. You give me a church that loves God. You don't have to put no gimmick out there. You say, we get to give today. Hallelujah. I get to give because whatever I love, I give to. I give my time. I give my money. I give myself. I give everything to what I love. Come on. I make time for what I love. Come on now. I make time to go eat. Every once in a while, me and Penny get in the car, we drive a little ways to get some of that good barbecue. Oh, we love it. We love it. Amen. But you love, you give to. God may not be in the pulpit, in the preaching. Why did I say that? Because when Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil came to preach him a sermon. You don't think the devil can preach? You think everything in the pulpit is of God is of God? Because you don't know the anointing. It's sad to me that you can be a homosexual, you can be a pervert, you can be whatever you want to be, and stand in the pulpit and your church know that you're one, and still flock to hear you so-called preach. Brother Willie, help me now. Just because they got good words. Paul said, if I come to you and tie some words of man's wisdom and not demonstration. I'm not going to come to you and tell you a bunch of stories and fables. I'm going to come to you with demonstration. Amen. And the power. Amen. Of God. Amen. And guess what? The power of God works only when you got love. Faith worketh by love.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The big difference in good preaching and God speaking. Where is the love? Where is the love? I know I got to close. Love has nothing to do with excitement. Love has nothing to do with excitement. It's not. The Bible says, no greater love has a man to lay down his life for a friend. I don't think that's too exciting, do you? To lay down your life for a friend? That's not exciting. But no greater love has a man than to lay down their life. I don't think it was exciting for Jesus to put on the cross and give his life for us. It wasn't exciting. We think love is exciting. We think love is all to do with passion. That's just because the person passionate about something. They must love the Lord. They're passionate about him. You can be passionate and be wrong. How about a headhunter that's passionate to cut your head off? He's wrong. He got excitement and passion. Where are they at? Let me cut the throat. You see, we don't know enough. I'm trying to help you because there's counterfeits in this season. They're counterfeits. They're counterfeits that want to get you. A man that won't tell you the truth in the pulpit, that won't tell you God's against sin, that God still judges sin, that God wants us all to repent. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. When the passion and excitement's gone, guess what? Those kind of people go. Love allows you to go through the miserable process without quitting. Love will let you go through the process with anybody without giving up on them. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Listen, love costs you something. I'm trying to close. People like to sit by the benefits, but they don't like to pay the cost. Amen.
Amen.
Sitting by the benefits does not qualify you for them. Benefits don't just rub off on you. You're going to have to go through the process. In closing, I'm going to give you the wham banger as I close. Listen, that's where I'm at in my life. And if you want to judge my love, just judge it. I don't give a flying flip. I love people. I wouldn't be in the ministry 30 years without love. I wouldn't have stayed here without love. I wouldn't go through what I've been through without love of people. You can't pay me enough. You can't give me enough things to do this. I do it because I love it. I love people from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. If I don't love you, you must be a bad dude. You are horrible. But listen to me. I've learned some things. Pam has helped me learn some things. And God. Listen, if you're going to get all of me, It will be because you deserve it. I'm telling you, if you're going to get all of me, all my agape love that I have, any more, you're going to get it because you deserve me. Listen to me. I poured my love out on a lot of people that didn't deserve it. I've been hurt. I've been stabbed. I've been tricked. I've been robbed. And I'm telling you, I'm not there no more. That mic is gone. If you get all of me, it's because you deserve me. It's because you love me. I don't got nothing to prove no more. I'm not going to run all over town trying to get somebody to love me no more. I was talking to Brother Willie this morning about that same subject. Where do I go? All my fathers are dead except one that I say is so-called father, but if I get any love, it'd be a miracle. I mean, I'm not going to run all over the place anymore in my life trying to get somebody to love me. If you love me, it's because you love me. And you ain't going to get me unless you deserve it. That ought to be your own life. That's what I'm talking about. Young ladies, you don't give your love to people boys that don't deserve your love. Just because they got a brand new car, you better watch out. Somebody else be riding in that car when you ain't there. Don't give your love away to people who do not deserve it. Amen. Amen. If you don't get me, it's going to cost you something. And I ain't talking about money. My daddy had 3 nervous breakdowns over people. I'm wiser than that. Get me, it's because I choose to give myself to you. You got it? In closing, love is not in the talk, it's in the service. Now I got 10 pages on this. I could have preached. I might have to write a book on this. Love. True love. Where is the love? Love, like I said, can't be just given away in 2 seconds. It's a process. It's time. Pain, effort, sacrifice, yes. Respect. Yes. How about commitment? Yes. I don't come to church every Sunday because I'm excited. I've drugged myself up in this place before. I come here because I love the church. And if I love something, I commit to it. Amen. I know some of you hit and miss on that, but you got to understand, whatever you love, you put yourself into. And if you really love the church, you don't wake up on Sunday morning if you're tired or if it's raining or whatever time you get to bed. You come because you love the Lord. And in that coming, God reveals himself to people. Where are the people who will work the process? Where is the people? Where is the love of God? Where is it? Is it in you? Yes, it's in you. If you're born again, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. It is in you, but you got to let it out. You got to let it flow. Whatever you love, you're committed to. Whatever you love, you respect. Whatever you love, you serve. So how much of the church do you love? Jane is shouting, but it's needful. Because, see, we commit to you every week. We commit to you every week. We're here every week. The worship team's here every service. The light's on. You know why the light's on? It's for you. I could take that $2,000 and do a lot of things with it. Our light bill runs about $18,000 to $2,000. Amen. Why did I build this building so late in life? For you. That was a lot of money. I could have took the money and retired on it. You wouldn't have said nothing. I could have put it in the bank. I could have opened up my own Mike Merritt Ministries. Yeah. And funneled all that money over into Mike Merritt Ministries. But I didn't. I spent every dime, and continue to spend every dime on you. Well, look at you, Pastor Mike. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how much in my bank account. You'd be surprised how much I got in Switzerland. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how much I got hid under my mattress. It ain't about the money, it's about my love. Believe me, it ain't about the money, it's about my love. Where is the love of God? It's not in our saying, because everybody loves everybody. It's so easy to stand. Charismatic folk come. It's so easy. I love you. I mean, I tell the bill collector I love him. My wife gets on me all the time. What in the world are you doing? I'd be in the office. I'd be talking to somebody. She'd come in and say, do you know what you just said? I said, yeah. But I love everybody. I choose to love everybody. Everybody needs to hear that. I've had bill collectors tell me, that's nice. I had one or two women ask me for my telephone number. I'm lying. Now, Penny won't let me use the phone. I'm lying. I've never had anybody do that when you really genuine say, you know, I love you. That's just, I know that's kind of cheap after the sermon. Because you can't love nobody in 2 minutes. But don't you understand, love comes as a process. If you love the Lord, you'll work out the process. And if you love the church, you'll work through the process. Where is God? He's in the love. Where is love? He's in the God. No greater love is a man than to lay down his life.